Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Still to come in about an hour, News Talk 93.1's April Marie Fogel will join us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. 251-343-0106. The text line is how you can get in touch with the program. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, always very kind to come on this program. He represents the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama. Barry Moore on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I am doing just fine. How are you doing, man?
Doing well. Always good to get you on. I guess it's going to come to the House here now, probably in September when you guys go back, but the Manchin-Schumer deal, I guess it could have been a lot worse than what the Senate is passing right now.
Yeah, it's always worse when the Democrats are in control. And I know, you know, I've said it many times, the most powerful Joe in D.C. is Joe Manchin. It's not Joe Biden. And so, unfortunately, apparently they've cut a deal. And, I can't quite wrap my head around. We warned, you know, in early last year that if we continue to spend money, that inflation was going to be an issue. And as we print dollars in D.C., it's ink on paper, and it devalues the one in the American people's wallet. And this will be a continuation of failed policies. And it'll continue to spur inflation and it's wasteful spending and all of that. It's not just the current inflation, it's the future debt that are going to be challenging for generations to come in this country. And it just creates issues for the American people moving forward when we could be limiting government, cutting spending, and letting decrease regulation and taxes and putting people back to work and growing an economy. We're continuing to try to manage to falsely input cash into the system and to bail the system out. And government spending is never the solution, Jeff. It's always in regulations. They always create bigger problems for the American people.
Well, it certainly gives you guys something to run on in the here in November. Not that you need it much with the way things are going, but you there is that contrast, right? What Republicans stand for, and
yeah,
what you follow.
It allows contrast.
Right.
It certainly allows contrast, but it's like you said, Jeff. We don't need anything to run on. I mean, if you just take the Biden administration, if it's the border crisis, it's the increase in crime, it's inflation, gas prices. I mean, this administration is creating a historic event about every 30 days instead of every 30 years, and we're seeing 40-year highs in gas prices and inflation and now crime. And those are the kind of things that, yeah, I just, for the life of me, we tweeted out yesterday, the only positives coming out of the Biden administration are the COVID test right now for the president. So it just continues to be doubling down on dumb and failures in policy that we just don't need something else to run on right now. We just got to make sure we manage expectations going into November.
Congressman, Speaker Pelosi's Asia trip has made a lot of news, particularly the stop in Taiwan. And, you know, who knows how serious to take the Chinese today. They're talking. They're going to take the step of stop helping us with climate change or whatever. But what did you make of Speaker Pelosi's visit? And do you see it as a good thing that she shouldn't be deterred, or do you see it as reckless?
You know, I think that once she committed to go, I think she had to go. I think it may have been reckless early on to commit to go, and it might be a political grandstand. Not that Pelosi's ever been known to politically grandstand, but in this situation, in a lot of ways, it seems like we were in a poker game, and she had to call the Chinese bluff on it. And so, after she committed to go, I felt like she had to. But I don't know that it was a great idea to go to start with. There's so many other things we could be doing right now. From a geopolitical standpoint, to secure Taiwan and to help fend off China, because, you know, as China grows their Navy, it's the largest Navy in the world, and they continue to expand. We've got to start prepping and preparing to be ready to protect Taiwan and stand with them. But I don't think this helps by sticking the finger in the bear's eye, so to speak.
Well, how close, how precarious do you think it is? I mean, you know, the Chinese make these gestures, these grand gestures or overtures about what they're going to do, and the state media there is always, I think, over the top. Where do you think the U.S.-China relations are here right now?
Well, I think they're certainly strained. I think that just our weakness from a standpoint of how we evacuated Afghanistan in August of last year, you know, just to me, those things just send signals of a lot of weakness. And I think, Russia moved when we gave them the green light on Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and we shut down the Keystone pipeline here in America. And when Russia saw what happened in Afghanistan, they moved on Ukraine. I think Taiwan's obviously the next target. And I think China's, they're chomping their bits to go there. And I can't say when or where it'll happen, but I would not be surprised if at some point we don't see China move.
But a lot's made out of this, that they're watching Ukraine and how the West handles that, and that is kind of dictating the tempo of their posture toward Taiwan, that if we take a back seat here on Ukraine, then, well, then that will green light the move on Taiwan by China.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think we have to be strong in a lot of ways in how we stand, personally, in the face of Russia. But if you look at what faces the American people face, and McCarthy will tell you this, I've heard him say it time and time again, the two top threats from a standpoint of just for the American nation ourselves is the debt, but China's on the top two. I mean, it's China and the debt. And so I think the fact that Putin struggled like he did going in and wasn't quite ready to they didn't have a great game plan. I think they thought they'd roll in a week and be done. The way the Ukrainian people fought back, I think it says a lot about defending the homeland and their property and their sovereignty. But I think in some ways Putin struggling has helped kind of deter China. But at the end of the day, I still see it as something they want to move on Taiwan at some point in the future.
Last question on China. Do you think we'll ever see the day when we get the accountability here for the pandemic? And you saw what's going on in the Senate with gain-of-function research and just really what's going on at the laboratories there in China. Will there ever be a day that we could say we can hold these guys accountable, you think?
Yeah, and I think it's coming. I think one of the things we have to do when we take the majority is Jim Jordan will be chairing the judiciary. I feel like that's a great spot for him. And I think Jim will start the hearings. We need to get to the bottom of what happened with the Wuhan lab. We need to get to the bottom of how Hunter Biden was involved, and if Joe Biden was in fact involved with the deals with China. And we need to start investigating that and get some answers to that. And I think we've got to start reducing dependence on production in China and start putting it back here in this country with allies that will stand with us. They are not our friends. And we've got to manage expectations going forward. But American production is key. We don't need a lab producing a virus and then buying the mask from the same producer. In other words, China produces a virus in the lab and sells us the mask and the PPP to protect ourselves and the medication. So those are things we've got to get back. We've got to start producing in the country. And I believe the American people, Jeff, don't mind paying a little extra if they know it's American-made and it protects our nation.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, you've been doing some field hearings here on veterans, the VA. You did one out in California. You've done one here in Alabama. Talk on that a little bit, what you're hoping to accomplish and what appears to be a bipartisan effort.
Yeah, these field hearings allow an opportunity for me to go to a Democrat district in San Diego, listen to the issues, and then I was out, obviously had an opportunity to bring that delegation to Alabama, and for the first time, I think, in the second congressional district history, we actually had Democrat VA members here, the committee members here in the district, listening to the issues the veterans had. And it allows, we passed some bipartisan bills already, Jeff, and I was able to get a bill signed into law, the John McHugh Tuition Assistance Fairness Act for dependents and GI Bill dependents, those people who were killed overseas, their dependents to get the same benefits of the GI Bill. And so there were some things we were able to do, but it's good to have those members to come here and understand Fort Rucker and Maxwell Gunner and how important our veterans are to this great state. And so those are the kind of things that we could get people from D.C. and from other districts here to hear and understand the level of need there is in the VA. It allows me just to further build bridges and to get some things done that otherwise we normally might not get done.
Well, and I heard you say this at the hearing in California. You're talking about what Alabama has done at the state level to make that transition easier. I mean, is that something you could ever apply with federal legislation to make a certain, you know, when people get shipped around in the military to make that transition easier?
Yeah, it was the License Reciprocity Act that I passed when I was in the state legislature that allowed spouses to get licensed in the state. In other words, if they came from Fort Benning, the spouse would come over to Fort Rucker in Alabama and wouldn't have a cosmetology license or a real estate license or whatever that license might be. There was a reciprocity process that allows those spouses to immediately go to work. Well, I just brought that to the attention to the Californians when I went out there and mentioned that, because they don't have that. And so even if you don't do it at a federal level, Jeff, I think it's always good to bring awareness and ideas that we came up with here in the state that tend to help our veterans and their spouses. And so it was just one of those opportunities for us to talk about that in front of the members from California and from their constituents and those veteran service organizations, those VSOs, to say, hey, here's a piece of legislation that we passed in Alabama that'll help our veterans. Because those veterans fight for us. They travel all over this country and all over this globe a lot of times defending us. And so if there's a good idea, we need to share those ideas with other states around the union.
Congressman, talk about, I guess now we're looking at like what the Biden, I guess, well, first off, y'all had a bill with these school shootings, and the Democrats are getting really jazzed up with these assault weapons bans. They appear to be pseudo-unconstitutional. But the Biden administration signed in executive orders that, and suddenly this seemed like a no-brainer in the past, but the Second Amendment and Second Amendment protections are right back at the forefront now with a lot of Democrat policy. You see this as just kind of a flash, and then when Republicans get back in charge, maybe we get back to some sense of normalcy?
Yeah, I sure would hope so, Jeff. You know, when it's the Second Amendment is always under attack from the left. I think I say this very often, if without the Second Amendment, we can't defend all those other rights and freedoms that we enjoy. So it always comes under attack, and they never let a crisis go to waste. But it's just another opportunity for the Dems to try to seize our Second Amendment, our right to bear arms. And I'm one of those true believers. When it says it shall not be infringed, that means it shall not be infringed. And so it's a slippery slope. And the problem is, if you get, it's like the camel getting his toes under the tent. We have to stop it, you know, up front and say, well, look, this is non-negotiable. The Second Amendment shall not be infringed. And so, yeah, every opportunity they get, they will ignore crimes and murders and gun-free zones all over the globe, and certainly in this country. And the first chance you get something like a school shooting or something, they try to magnify that and say it's a gun problem. But it's interesting to me, it's always the officer's fault when there's law enforcement that shoots somebody, but it's always the gun's fault when it's anybody else doing the shooting. And that's the issue. They try to spin these things to seize our rights, and we've got to continue to stand. And I think that's something that you'll see some sense of normalcy when we get the majority. It has been anything but normal since Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden have been in charge.
Well, the other executive action from this administration, in the wake of the Dobbs decision, now it appears to me they're trying to do a little – they're tinkering a little bit with what the federal government is, I guess, these symbolic grand gestures dealing with abortion and what's allowed and what isn't, despite what the Supreme Court has said. What do you make of that? And does any of this really, does it concern you in the least?
Well, you know, it concerns me the fact that it's to the extremes that this administration and the left in this country would go through to kill children that are unborn. And that's the concern for me. I think it's a curse upon our nation. So obviously we were thrilled with the Dobbs decision. But Biden wants to control every facet of our lives, and we have the right kind of message. You know, we all know, Jeff, you know, when you have children, they're a tremendous blessing. But you got these young women, a lot of times they're afraid. And I think we need to push the pregnancy counseling. We need to allow assistance in the adopting services. There are some things we can do, but it's still at the end of the day, man, it goes back to the states. And so these states make these decisions. It's just Biden trying to push back against the court. I think they made a solid decision in the Dobbs case. And you know, the left loses their mind when it comes to the Second Amendment, like we talked about, certainly pro-life issues. And those are the areas we take a stand. And hopefully, like we talked about earlier, there'll be a sense of normalcy coming back. But this administration never stops at an opportunity to be swung hard left or try to impose an executive order to limit liberty or to kill children unborn or seize our rights to bear arms. It's nonstop with this crowd, and we've got to stay on our toes.
Well, staying on the abortion stuff, Dennis McDonough, the secretary of the VA, he was on one of Sunday shows a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't outright say it, but he hinted at the possibility of using VA hospitals to provide abortions. And it seems like that would be in violation of the Hyde Amendment or something, but given that's kind of your space, what do you think of that as a possibility when the left is talking about that?
Well, again, that's something we would have to absolutely stand in the committees and fight. And I think, again, it violate the Hyde Amendment in so many ways. So we just have to make sure that we don't federally fund these abortions. And it seems like to me that the left is constantly trying to take control of that process, and they more and more they can spend to kill the unborn they're going to do. But that's something they may try. You just don't know with this crowd. They'll try to do anything they can a lot of times to circumvent the rulings in the court, whether it be executive order or running the money through the VA. But it's something we'll stay on our toes about and make sure, Jeff, that we don't allow such things to happen.
I guess the possibility of even using a military basis. So, like in a state like Alabama, that they could use Maxwell Air Force Base or Fort Rucker and have an abortion clinic on base. I mean, that looks like some of the things that maybe some of your Democrat colleagues would look at to get around state laws.
Yeah, we heard talk about that a few weeks ago, I think, when we were in D.C. right after the Dobbs decision. And like I said, they'll stop at nothing. So they want to try, because it's federal lands, to say, hey, this is exempt from state laws. But, you know, again, it's something we'll have to keep an eye on. I don't think we'll have an issue once we get the majority. We just got to get to November right now, and then we've got to make sure we do what we need to do to hold the line on those issues.
And we'll wrap it up on this. We'll get you out of here. I know you're traveling today. November elections. We talked a little bit about that. But, we're getting through the primaries, and we're gonna know who the candidates are with the slate of candidates. Are you guys in the Freedom Caucus? Do you feel pretty good about some of the candidates coming out of these Republican primaries around the country?
Yeah, we do. We've tried to interview so many of them and make sure that we had an opportunity to find out who we could support and felt like they would join the House Freedom Caucus. And, of course, it's not a green light just because we support them. We a lot of times, even if they get elected, they have to decide, and we have to make sure they're voting the way we want to vote. We have people all the time that want to join the House Freedom Caucus. They don't vote the way we would expect, not as conservatives we'd like to see. And so it's a brand that's been built over time by doing the right thing, and we certainly want to make sure we pick good people. And then hopefully it meshes once they win the election that they're going to vote with us, and we're going to be able to get a consensus on how to move this country forward. And, you know, the Freedom Caucus, we don't get a lot of money from the special interest groups. They kind of isolate us. But I mentioned this last night at my town hall, is we're going to continue to do what's right for the American people. And and we remember who we represent. It's not that group in D.C. It's not the K Street crowd. It's not even the people on the Hill so much as it is the district. And so I appreciate being a member of the HFC, and I think that the House Freedom Caucus, we have a part to play going forward in this country. And as that membership grows, we got to continue to fight. But it seems like the American people appreciate what we're doing, and hopefully these candidates will be a part of the slate of candidates that we get elected and help move our numbers so we have impact on policy going forward.
Congressman, we appreciate your time this morning. Stay safe out there. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.